In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I heard a story once about a young priest who was serving in a large parish in Texas. And he was scheduled to run a meeting one evening, and it was the tradition of this particular parish to serve coffee at evening meetings. And so the people in the hospitality group put everything together. They loaded up the coffee maker, they filled it with water, they put out the sugar and the cream, and they asked the young curate if he would mind simply turning the coffee maker on when he arrived. And to their surprise, he said, "No, I don't make coffee." After all, he was an important priest, and it wasn't his job to do menial tasks around the church. Now, on the one hand, I can understand his position. I have in the past found myself in situations where I was spending so much time at the church doing things like the laundry and the dishes that I didn't really have the time to do my priestly duties. But on the other hand, is this the attitude that Christ calls us to exhibit? Is this the example he gives us in the Gospels? Palm Sunday is an interesting day in the life of the church. We begin the service with joy, hailing Christ as King as we remember his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But the service ends in silence as we contemplate the coming week and Jesus' betrayal, crucifixion, and death. Now, the first part of our service today, that makes sense. Jesus is, after all, the King of the universe. Just think of the imagery that is part of our Palm Sunday liturgy. As Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he comes in riding on a donkey. This is meant to remind us of Solomon coming in to Jerusalem to be enthroned as King of Israel in 1 Kings chapter 1. He comes in riding on a mule. And then we're told the people lay their coats and palm branches on the road. Palm branches were used to honor royalty in Israel. And this word that we translate as coats or cloaks actually refers to the Jewish prayer shawl. And on the collar of this item of clothing is written the phrase, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So all of the imagery is here. Jesus is seen by the people as being both King and Messiah. And yet, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, did not come to be served, but rather he came to serve. He did not come to rule, but rather he came to die. How are we to wrap our minds around that? It would be like the President of the United States showing up here at All Saints to clean the toilets. Paul puts all of this into perspective for us in our reading from Philippians. Now, in this reading, Paul tells us, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul here is not making a suggestion. You might want to think about doing this. Rather, he's making a command to us. He's saying, you all must think in this way, the way Christ did. He then goes on to describe what this mind of Christ is that we ought to have. He says that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Now, a few weeks ago in our Sunday morning class, Eric Henningfeld did a really good job of unpacking this part of Philippians, and so I'll give you the condensed version this morning. First off, we need to understand what Paul means by form. For us today, if we say that something is in the form of a cabinet, we mean that it perhaps bears some similarities to a cabinet, but may or may not actually be a cabinet. But for Paul and for the ancient Greeks, this word form meant something completely different. The form of something referred to the ideal or the perfect substance of an object. And so according to this view, we're able to recognize something here as a cabinet because it shares the perfect form of what is the cabinet in the heavens. And so to say that Jesus is in the form of God doesn't mean that Jesus is maybe similar to God or like God, but rather that he is God, that he shares the same substance as the Father. So if anyone should be free from having to make the coffee or clean the toilet, so to speak, it should be Jesus himself. But rather than relying on his status as God, Paul tells us that he emptied himself and took on the very essence of a human servant. This is quite a transformation. Servants in Paul's day were often not even citizens, and consequently they had few, if any, legal rights. They were bound to their masters, and they lived lives of utter and total obedience. And Jesus himself lived this out. Paul says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So think about that for a second. The King of all creation came down to this world. He was born into a peasant family. He lived a life of obedience to the Father and then submitted himself to one of the most excruciating forms of death known to man. That's pretty amazing. But what's even more amazing is that he calls us to do the same. This is the mind that we are to have as followers of Christ. Now, in our world today, we're told that we need to know what our rights are. We are told that the customer always knows best. We are told to look out for number one. Now, Christians aren't immune to this way of thinking. We're often just as bad as the rest of the world. We treat Jesus like he's a concierge at an expensive hotel. We regard the church as a commodity whose sole purpose is to meet our individual needs. We think of ourselves as royalty and as important people, and we wanted to be treated that way. We are indignant when we feel that we have been wronged, and we are aggressive when we aren't getting what we feel we deserve. We each want our own triumphal entry, but we avoid at all costs going to the cross. We need to ask ourselves, what are we willing to give up for the sake of the gospel? What are we willing to sacrifice? Jesus did not go to the cross so that we could be self-indulgent and entitled. He did it so that we too could be servants like him, because it's through humility that we too will one day be exalted in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, this Holy Week, seek to have the mind of Christ. Remember that the God of the universe condescended to be a servant to the lowly. Many years ago, there was a man named Tom Erickson who was the senior pastor of one of the largest churches in his town. This was back in the days before the internet, And the local library had this new bit of technology. They called it dial-a-tale. And children could call a phone number and hear a recorded children's story, and it would change every day. Now, unfortunately for Pastor Tom, the dial-a-tale number was just one digit off from his own phone number. And consequently, he would occasionally receive calls from children looking for a story. Now, he tried to explain to the children that they had the wrong number, but the calls kept coming in. Now, at first, he was just a little annoyed. But after a while, he actually got kind of angry. After all, he was an important person. He had important things to do. He didn't want to waste his time answering these phone calls. This was nothing more than an invasion of his privacy. But then he realized that that's not the mind of Christ. And so he went to the store and he bought a copy of The Three Little Pigs and he left it by his telephone. As we travel through Holy Week on our way to the glory of the resurrection, let us all remember to have the mind of Christ. Amen.